Increasingly, images seem to be driving the story of the migrant crisis and the world's response to it. Earlier this month, it was the photo of a lifeless Syrian toddler, Aylan Kurdi. Now it's cartoons published by Charlie Hebdo, satirical French magazine, which are riffing on that heartbreaking image. Many people have been offended by the cartoons. Robert Mackey writes for the New York Times. His column is called NYT Open Source. Mackey says people around the world have been sharing two images in particular that were rejected as covers for Charlie Hebdo.
One shows Jesus walking on water next to the Syrian boy drowning. And it's mocking the idea that Europe is concerned about Muslim immigration because of its Christian identity, as the Hungarian prime minister said recently. So the headline for that cartoon is "The Proof That Europe is Christian." And it points at the figure of Jesus saying that Christians can walk on water. And then the arrow points at the Muslim boy and says, "Muslim children sink." So it's obviously a very dark take on what's happening. The other rejected cover that circulated a lot showed the young boy in that haunting image that everyone saw and was very distressed by, lying face down on the beach. And then next to him, there was a kind of cheery advertisement for McDonald's Happy Meals. And the caption said, "So close to the goal." And that one, I think, was very confusing to a lot of people who didn't really understand what the aim of it was, and was interpreted by many people on social media who saw it outside France as mocking the death of the boy in some way.
And we should say that these were rejected covers, but Charlie Hebdo ended up placing them at the back of that issue.
That's right. These were actually just two of many cartoons in the issue that use this image in different ways. And some of them, I think, would have been more clearly referencing the French response to the crisis, which was part of what the cartoonists said they were doing.
So these cartoons, these two in particular that you describe, they generated this really heated debate online between those who say the cartoons mock Aylan Kurdi, the little Syrian boy who drowned, and others who say the images mock the European response. So that's where sort of the kind of lost in translation comes in.
That's right. And actually, the way I follow debate and discussion on social media a lot, and this is somewhat typical of the way that things often shape up, at first, there was really only a one-sided discussion on social networks from people who were outraged by the images and said that they mocked the boy, even if it wasn't entirely clear how. And then that outrage kind of fed into a narrative that Charlie Hebdo itself was racist. And then there was a somewhat delayed response from people who tried to explain the cartoons and talk about the cultural context. And it turned out that these were all introduced by an editorial, a sort of scathing editorial about Europe's failed response to the refugee and migrant crisis from the cartoonist who drew these two rejected covers. But the thing that gets a little confusing is that in some ways, satire, when it's really biting, isn't really funny. It kind of plays on something of the same instinct and the same way of communicating. But, you know, lots of things, editorial cartoons that someone in Britain pointed out to some famous editorial cartoons about the Nazis or about the genocide in Sudan, they're biting, but not actually intended to make you laugh.
I follow political cartoons, and I look at hundreds of them a day, and the image of him was dominant and has been since the original photo was made public. So, you know, cartoonists have not spared him in their commentary. Somehow it's the Charlie Hebdo treatment that energized people and got them mad.
This also comes obviously in the context of the attack on Charlie Hebdo and the response to that in January. Many of the comments from people who were outraged were saying, well, is this why we're supposed to all say "Je suis Charlie"? We're showing solidarity with these people, and then they're, you know, using their power to mock the powerless. That's not obviously how the cartoonists themselves feel, but it's definitely the way that they've been received, particularly outside France. It was interesting that the French version of Huffington Post, the French version of Slate, pointed out that basically people in France didn't interpret these as being offensive or mocking the boy.
Well, the photo itself was something so primal in terms of the reaction it evokes, because he looked like he was napping. He was in a very familiar position for a toddler. There was just something that was sort of almost breathtaking when you saw this picture, because it was something that was so familiar. I wondered if you thought this image somehow has galvanized people around what's going on in Syria and the refugee flow more than 4 years of news coverage.
Yes, I think to some extent it has. And as you said, it introduced somewhat of the normality of the people who are affected by this. I think people have an idea that what's happening in the Middle East is exotic and foreign and different to their experiences. And, you know, people saw this little boy who actually, as the cartoon pointed out, was wearing, you know, red and blue little shorts and sneakers. It could have blended in anywhere in Europe or in the United States. It's difficult to predict, of course, what really has a long-term effect. This reminded me to some extent of the horrible and very harrowing images of Neda Aga Sultan, the Iranian protester who was killed in 2009 right in front of two camera phones. At the time, as I recall, people thought, well, this could bring down the regime, this might change everything. And over time, it didn't. I mean, it didn't stop the protests entirely, but it did seem to blunt the momentum, the horror of the image, rather than pull down the regime. But again, in a long-term sense, it could also have contributed to the political change that took place in the following election.
Did you think crises need these strong visual images to convey what's really going on? I mean, the visual life between the web and smartphones, people seem more attuned to visual documents than words now.
I think that's absolutely the case. And of course, it is true now that there are just so many more images that things that didn't occur in front of professional photojournalists before weren't seen.
Robert Mackey is a columnist for the New York Times social news column, NYT Open Source. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks very much.